Today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke. Luke 2 narrates the birth and early life of Jesus, highlighting God's humility, fulfillment of prophecy, and the universal significance of the Savior's arrival. This passage begins with Mary and Joseph presenting the newborn Jesus in the temple. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying this, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Kathy, and thank you to Justine and Noah for that beautiful piece with the harpsichord, and to Noah for sharing the harpsichord with us. What a fun demonstration of music across the generations as well. Friends, we know there are moments when the distance between heaven and earth feels very thin. Last Sunday was one of those moments. Here in this place, in the middle of worship, on Father's Day, amidst our pride celebration, on the summer solstice, something happened that none of us expected. Dick Peterson, aged 89, one of our elder saints, took his final breaths here in this sanctuary. Earlier in that service, he had heard our Vacation Bible School kids sing about God as shelter, cover, and home. That matters, because in a way that none of us could have planned, those children sang the promise that carried him home. We need to say plainly that there is still grief in this room. Some of you knew Dick well and loved him dearly. Some of you knew him only a little. Some of you are still carrying the shock of what happened. And there are moments that stay in the body after the service ends, images that you can't quite shake, feelings that catch up with you later, questions that do not resolve neatly. That is real, and we should not rush past it. And we also need to take a moment today to say thank you. Thank you to the trained medical people and first responders who stepped in immediately. Thank you to this entire congregation that responded with care, prayer and calm presence. What happened was a little scary, but it was also sacred. To breathe your final breaths with your beloved wife of 65 years by your side, surrounded by the family of Christ, is no small thing. It does not ease grief, but it does place grief inside the promise that no one in Christ is ever left alone. One thing worth knowing about Dick, especially for those who maybe knew him less well, is that he was a teacher, a coach, an encourager, and a lifelong learner. He understood that wisdom does not belong to only one age group. He knew that God keeps teaching us through one another. He respected the insight of younger people and never seemed to imagine that age meant he was finished learning. That matters today because this first week of our generation series asks us what it means to stand together in the hope of Christ. And that brings us to Luke's story. Jesus is just a baby. Mary and Joseph bring him to the temple as an ordinary act of faithfulness. And there in that sacred space, they encounter two elders, Simeon and Anna. Simeon has been waiting his whole life for this moment, waiting for the consolation of Israel, waiting to see God's promise fulfilled. And when he takes this child into his arms, he knows. Not because it makes logical sense or not because it fits expectations, but because a lifetime of devotion has trained him to recognize God when God shows up even in the most unexpected ways. And Anna, she has been in that temple for decades, worshiping, fasting, praying, showing up again and again and again, long after many would have drifted away. And when she sees the baby Jesus, she begins to praise God and speak about this child to anyone who will listen. Here's the thing. Neither Anna nor Simeon produces the promise. They don't make it come into being. They don't create the Messiah. They don't control the outcome. But they recognize it. They name it, and they bless it. And that is no small thing. Because it takes a lifetime of faithfulness to be able to see clearly in that moment. We tend to underestimate that kind of devotion. We treat it like background noise. We assume it's passive, just habit or routine, the showing up, the caring, the praying. But Simeon and Anna remind us that steady, disciplined, long-haul faith doesn't just endure, it prepares. It sharpens vision. It creates the condition for recognition. And without them, Mary and Joseph might have walked right past the meaning of what they were carrying. That's the first truth that we need to hold on to. The faithfulness of older generations is not optional to the life of the church. It is foundational. Simeon and Anna can recognize what God is doing because they have been paying attention for a very long time. Their years of worship, of prayer, of waiting and trust has not made them rigid. it has made them ready. They have been formed into people who can see God's future arriving in a form that they never would have expected. That is a needed word in a culture that often undervalues older people unless they can still move at the same speed as everyone else. The church should know better. The perseverance of older generations is not background scenery. It is part of the spiritual architecture of the church. Some people know how to pray because an older saint kept praying. Some among us know how to stay faithful in grief because someone older showed them what endurance looked like. Some among us have followed a call because an older person saw it and named it in them. But this passage says something else too. It is not only the older generation who has something to give. It is also that God's new thing appears in the younger generation. Simeon and Anna do not cling to the past for its own sake, they bless what God is doing next. They do not say, we've seen enough. They say, in effect, here it is. God is still at work. Pay attention. In Luke's telling, the Messiah, the consolation of Israel, the redemption people have waited for, shows up as a tiny, little, fragile baby carried into a temple. That means that standing on the promises requires openness to the unexpected. God often comes in forms that we are tempted to dismiss. A child, a song, a trembling new beginning, a word from someone younger than us that turns out to be wiser than we expected, or a word from someone much older than us that suddenly makes the whole picture clearer. Here at Hamline, there are 8 living generations in this church. Isn't that something? From a 4-month-old baby in Generation Beta to a 100-year-old member from the greatest generation. This time has perhaps never existed before and perhaps never will again. There are very few places in public life where that happens. Schools, of course, sort us by age, workplaces sort us by role, social media sorts us by preferences. But the church, at its best, is one of the few places where people across the whole span of life can truly belong to one another. And that's a beautiful thing. The intergenerational community is one of my favorite things about the church and about this church in particular. But with that blessing, there's always some challenges, right? Sometimes we hear grumblings about kids taking too many cookies at coffee hour. Sometimes I hear grumblings about adults taking too many cookies at coffee hour. There are often strong opinions about what the youth should do. And we are still learning to appreciate that others may have musical preferences different from our own. Yet something in my heart stirs when I realize that even if it's not my favorite hymn, it clearly means a great deal to my neighbor down the pew. At Hamline, we are blessed with many beautiful examples of intergenerational ministry. During Vacation Bible School just a week ago, volunteers of all ages, seniors, adults, young adults, and teens helped lead more than 30 children as they learned about our faith. That was not just a program. That was the church being the church. older members showing up with patience and steadiness, teenagers discovering that they had gifts worth offering, children receiving faith from a whole community, not just a lesson plan. It was a living picture of generations standing together under the same hope. And all summer long, our children work in the garden with adults and college students to grow food for seniors in our community. Look at that image closely. Young hands in the dirt or the mud, adult hands teaching and tending, food being grown for elders. One generation is planting, another helping, another receiving. That is not just service. That is a parable of the body of Christ. This plays out in countless ways across our ministries. And this is what Hebrews gives us language for when it speaks of being surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. People whose lives of faith encircle us and help us keep growing even when we're tired or afraid or worn down. That cloud is not just long ago heroes whose names we read on a page. It is also the ordinary saints whose faith has helped shape this sanctuary. People who pray, serve, sing, show up, and keep trusting God over many years. When we gather here, we are held by that cloud. We are held by those who came before us, strengthened by those alongside us, and responsible to those who come after us. The promise binds us together. So my invitation this week is concrete, just as it was for the kids. Today, during coffee hour or sometime in the coming days, build or deepen a relationship with someone who is at least two generations removed from your own. Not just someone easy, not just someone you already know well, someone who might widen your vision. If you're not sure where to begin, you can start with the questions I gave the kids, or perhaps go a little deeper. Where have you seen God show up recently? What gives you hope right now? What worries you about the future? What do you wish other generations better understood about your life? Those are not small talk questions. They are temple questions. They are Simeon and Anna questions. They are the kind of questions that help the church recognize Christ in one another. And as we ask them, we do so with tenderness and with gratitude. Tenderness because grief is still among us, and gratitude because we are in a community across the generations. Last Sunday, the cloud of witnesses past and present was gathered, and together we witnessed something holy. A man who had lived a long life of faith, hearing children sing of God's shelter, then being surrounded by the love, skill, prayer, and presence of the people of God as he took his final breaths. That is sorrowful, and it is sacred. God takes all things and builds a home for us, the children sang. Last Sunday was not just a lyric, it was a testimony to the cloud of witnesses gathered here and to the cloud of witnesses that welcomed Dick home and that he is now among. So may Hamlin Church be that kind of home. a church where elders are honored, where children are taken seriously, where younger voices are welcomed, and every generation helps the other see God more clearly. May we become more intentional in crossing the distance between us, and may we stand together on the promises of God, trusting that the same Christ Simeon and Anna recognized is still being revealed among us now. And in that is our hope. Thanks be to God. Amen.